was a good night last night. Well, we had fun out there. It was a bad night for America, that's for sure, yesterday at Crooners. I was glad to see everyone that was out there with the debate watching party last night. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Sasha. Sasha, you missed out on some good good fun at the Crooners. It was... It wasn't fun watching the debate so much because it was just sort of like, really? I mean, it's the parent you see. If you ever go on out, you see that parent who has the kid who I want a cookie. And they just go and they don't stop. And they constantly are asking for the cookie. And it keeps going and going and going. And there comes a point you're like, how are you not disciplining your child? How are you not pulling your child aside? And it just keeps going and going and going. I said this this morning, I'll say it again. What I saw last night was Joe Biden debated a howler monkey who happens to be a racist. You know, a racist howler monkey. Did you catch any of the debate yourself?
You know, I was a little tied up. I had a little bit of work to do, but yeah. I've seen a lot of highlights from social media.
It was ugly. I mean, every one of my friends, I wouldn't say everyone, the vast majority of my friends who live outside of this country have contacted me today and saying, how in the heck did you guys get to this point? How did you ever get to this point where you're at? And yeah, it's because, and we'll get into this with Stein a little bit later on. It's because the Republican Party's number one trait for a presidential candidate now is the ability to demean, insult, interrupt, and dismiss their perceived enemies. Because no one who watched that last night should come, unless you're a racist. If you're a racist, I understand why you love Trump. He enables you guys. But if you were anyone else, you liked what you saw last night, first of all, you're kind of racist light. Let's just be honest with it. But as well, it's a case where that is your primary goal, your primary trait, your primary thing you like is just... you love how Trump makes you feel. It makes you feel like he's owning the libs, and that's what you love. And it's disturbing to say the least. I will say we should probably have a little bit more of a reliable debate next Wednesday at Crooners. We are doing the vice presidential debate. Kamala Harris should mop the floor with Mike Pence. The amount of pressure he's going to have on himself to actually look like an adult in the room and not get his caboose handed to him by Kamala Harris. It's going to be interesting. I get the impression Mike Pence is not going to have an easy time with a strong woman or a strong minority woman basically challenging him on everything. I think it's not going to go well for him. Crooners Lounge and Supper Club, $25 tickets. Once again, it's going to be at the website, am950radio.com, am950radio.com. If you want to see some photos from last night, there are some pictures I posted on the social media pages. You can go view those. It was fun. Twins, are we still losing? Yeah, we're still losing. 2-1. It's in the eighth. We should all be angry at this twin squad because this is inexcusable. This is in-freaking excusable. Where is your heart, for God's sakes? You got one run. You still got all those. I don't care about Josh Donaldson and Buxton being out today. You got all those bats in your lineup, and you get one run yesterday. I mean, this should put you to pause. Yesterday, in the first inning, we had the bases loaded, and we could not get a run in. We could not get a run in. Gene freaking Larkin managed to get a run in a World Series. How are you not as good as Gene Larkin at hitting? How are you not as good as Gene Larkin at hitting? You're supposed to be better. Miguel Sano, they fixed his hand grip. Now he went back. Now he can't hit. He's swinging at flies again. I don't know. This is disappointing because this is not like, well, Matt, the Astros have good pitchers. You had the first pitcher on the ropes, 30 pitches in the first inning yesterday, and you let him off the hook. Today, you're not exactly taking on a 50-0 team. Nope. This is just disappointing. They're going to get swept out of this whole thing, and they don't deserve to go on. They just don't deserve because they are about as disciplined as hitters as a bunch of 9-year-olds. And that's sad. The Astros who are a bunch of cheaters, because they cheated, they basically know how to manufacture runs and be disciplined at the plate. And you guys are just basically like, did you see me? I swung at the ball. Ugh. Being a Twins fan is not easy. Sasha, are you a Twins fan?
I don't watch much baseball.
You don't watch? What sport do you watch?
I've been watching a lot of basketball, and as a new Miami fan as of last year, I started seeing some rumblings in the works, and I've been very satisfied.
Okay.
So far.
All right. Well, that's nice. I'm happy for you. That's very nice.
Thank you so much.
I'm in a hellscape of a horrible area. I think we're in the ninth inning. I guarantee you the Twins will give up like 8 runs, and then they'll have like 3 guys hit solo home runs and say, see, we did great, didn't we? We hit 3 home runs. We can get ice cream afterwards. Shut up. You should be going to the World Series, and you're just so damn undisciplined. And maybe you look at Rocco Baldalli. Maybe you have to look at the manager here because he clearly has not gotten this team ready to go. I'll tell you what, Jeff is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on the debate. Let's get him on in here. Jeff, welcome on in.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. That was very painful to watch that debate. And I'd like to get your keen insight on this topic. I noticed that Trump said probably about a dozen times the radical left Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Democrat. I love my country. I don't consider myself radical. But what I'm seeing in Trump, and this is a question I have for you, I think we have a deranged dictator who's a narcissist with his hands on a nuclear weapons goal.
Well, no, it's
that's scary.
Jeff, it's not the nuclear weapons you should worry about. I mean, we should be worried about them. Thank you very much. Trust me, the military have protocols in place that if Jeff, thanks for the phone call. We have protocols in place that the military would not allow the nukes to get fired off. But, I mean, let's make sure we understand. When he talks about the radical lefts, the radical Democrats, and then he says, Proud Boys, stand by. The real weapon he's got is he's got the racists who want to start shooting things up. And he is, it's like I came off that last night, and the first thing I said is he trying to form his own Kristallnacht? And if you don't know what Kristallnacht is, go read a history book. Basically, it was the culmination of power in Germany for Hitler and the Nazi Party, and when you look at what he's doing here. We're going to have people get shot. People are going to die. Far right-wing loon balls are going to start opening fire someplace in this country. And whether it's a polling place, whether it's a newspaper, whether it's a Black Lives Matter rally, it's going to be somewhere. And then all of a sudden, the same people who have been pushing for this to go saying, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Who said that we should start shooting things up? No, and trust me, when we beat him, and if there's anything that we need to take away from this, is that there's a lot of Republicans that look at what he did last night and are still applauding it, are still thinking it's good. And the reality is we need to look at those people and realize they're all going to vote. He got 61 million, anticipate 61 million again. So far, things are looking good. A lot of absentee ballots. Most of them seem to be Democrat. That's great. But no one sits this election out, for God's sakes. Don't take anything for granted. Don't look at this and say, well, clearly he's not going to win. He'll win. He will win. If you do not vote, if you do not get your kids to vote, if you do not get your parents to vote, if you do not get your neighbor to vote, if you do not get everyone you know to vote, he will win again. It's that simple. It's that simple. Do not breathe a sigh of relief. Do not do any. You need to anticipate that we're 10 points behind. That's how you need to treat this. Because, you know, right now, that you see, this is the pattern that always happens. The Democrats says, well, I don't need to vote. I mean, clearly, he's not going to win. Hey, he won. Hey, how did that happen? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm tired of people that either didn't vote or voted for a third party candidate still trying to convince me that they had some sort of foundation of sanity when they made that vote back then. Everyone votes. Everyone votes, all right? Story this morning, apparently there's a cougar in Bloomington. Hello there. Oh, actually, I should say there was a cougar in Bloomington. So the DNR is investigating how a cougar made its way into Bloomington before being struck at 494 and 35W in Bloomington on Tuesday morning. He was just trying to go get a latte, man. He was, come on, it's just, he's got the morning commute. What are you doing? Seriously, I mean, you're wondering how a wild animal is, what are they doing in an area that's got dumpsters full of food every night? Jeez, wonder what he's doing there. You people leaving their cat out at night? Where'd Mr. Buttons go? Yeah, where did Mr. Buttons go? Meow. Rawr. That's where Mr. Buttons went. The 115-pound male cougar. Is that called a dingo? Oh, never mind. Male cougar is at the DNR for Wildlife Research Office in Grand Rapids, where they'll perform a necropsy to determine the cougar is wild and where it might have originated from. Where, among other things, while cougars have been spotted and verified from time to time in Minnesota, the DNR says evidence suggests they are transient animals from the western Dakotas. Have you seen what's going on out in the Dakotas right now? I don't blame them. I do not blame them for trying to come into Minnesota at this point. I've often said, okay, one of the great things about Minneapolis-St. Paul is that there are areas of Minneapolis-St. Paul which are unbelievably well-wooded areas where a wild animal could come out of the woods, go to a dumpster, get food, and go back into the woods, and you would never know they're there. I have zero doubt that somewhere in the river valley of Minneapolis, there's probably a bear or two down there. With zero doubt. Absolutely zero doubt. I mean, there's a lot of wild animals around, whether you want to believe it or not. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump is going to be in Duluth today. He'll be here about 8 o'clock. Scheduled to speak at the Duluth International Airport at 8. Doors open for the general public at 5. The Make America Great Again rally. Well, haven't you been in charge for 4 years? We'll utilize the airfield and a private hangar. The president is known for holding large-scale gatherings that have flouted state and federal guidelines there. But we do have rules here. Nearly half of all confirmed cases of COVID-19 in St. Louis County started since the pandemic have been in September alone. So once again, let me repeat that. In St. Louis County, where Duluth is, now it's a big county. It runs all the way to the border. It's the biggest county in the state. But half of the cases in St. Louis County have been in September alone, with a monthly total of more than 800 as of Tuesday. Meanwhile, the 10-county region of northeastern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin reported a record-high 100 new diagnoses in a single day on Monday. One event can affect so many people, said the Minnesota Infectious Disease Director. Being outdoors is not a substitute for safe practices. It is essential that people keep a safe distance and wear a mask. But, you know, if these people, you know, this is only getting worse at this point because there are so many people out there that are pushing the boundaries of these masks. It's only getting worse. And if you're the Republican Party, you need to have the feeling that people can go vote in person come November and it will be safe. And right now, you're not, you know, they're not going to have that. So more, by the way, we got a lot more to get to on the coronavirus update before Stein, but let's get Gary in here. Gary in Minneapolis, welcome on in, sir.
Hi, Matt. Fun seeing you last night.
It was nice to see you.
It's hard to imagine 4 more years of Trump, man. I hope everybody gets out some votes. I'll tell you, if we finally get him out of there, I think we got to lock him up because he's going to be raising havoc and chaos over the country.
Well, I think we do. Now, Gary, by the way, thank you. Gary made a nice print for me, a nice painting. I want to say thank you for that, Gary. I do appreciate that. It's lovely. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. How do you look at anything from last night and come away thinking that this person should be in charge of the United States of America? I mean, seriously, it is the worst of humanity being praised as something noble and distinguished. It is disturbing. It is disturbing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's take a break. I'll come back with the Minnesota coronavirus update and reminder, Stein coming up here in just a little bit. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
You can't go through a day without hearing about healthcare reform. St. Paul Corner Drug is here to help you navigate the ever-changing healthcare landscape. We are your advocate in getting much-needed prescription medication covered under your insurance plan. Need to choose a different plan? There is no reason to feel like you are drowning in the system. St. Paul Corner Drug can make simple work out of finding you a plan that best suits your needs. You can rest assured at St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Are you wondering what's going on with our real estate market right now? Then why not become a house geek? Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and host of the Twin Cities Real Estate Show here with your Market Minute. 4.86 is the average number of showings per week per listing in the median sale price range, and this is a key indicator of current demand in our marketplace. The median sale price is up by 8% over the same time last year, which is at about $297,000. The 30-year conventional interest rate is at around 3.33%. This is historically low and is virtually unchanged over last week. So what does this mean for sellers? Showing activity is slower than it was last year at the same time. However, due to the low inventory of homes for sale, activity is still showing it is a seller's market. For buyers, you are able to schedule showings with your realtor if you are taking proper precautions. Are you thinking about making a move? Then remember, you can check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 3-1 Houston right now. They have no heart. That team has no freaking heart. And they have no discipline at the plate. They cannot swing. They basically thrive on the really bad teams with bad pitchers, but they get up against anyone that's got it. They have zero discipline at the plate. And Houston does. And Houston is picking us apart. And we are not going anywhere. We're going to stay at home because it's 3-1. It's the top of the ninth. They got two runners on and no outs. And so does anyone have any – and Taylor Rogers is pitching. So anyone having any doubts, this is going to be like a six-run inning, and then we're going to just hang our heads in shame. Or, you know, then Miguel Sano will hit that solo home run. Then I got a home run. Twins baseball. It's just hard. It's just hard. Let's get into the Minnesota coronavirus update. This is a little scary because we are starting to see these bad numbers come back again. 16 COVID-19 deaths reported in Minnesota on Wednesday, along with statistical indicators underscoring the continued threat of the pandemic. The state is now reporting 17 new infections with the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 per day, about 100, per 100,000 people, the highest rate in the pandemic. The confirmed infections are being found amid a record high rate of diagnostic testing, raising the chicken egg question, whether the testing is finding more cases or there are more cases and now we're finding them. The so once again, that's 17 per 100,000 people in the pandemic. That's the numbers that they're looking at. 16 reported deaths on Wednesday, all involved people 60 and older, and all nine involved residents of long-term care or assisted living facilities. COVID-19 remains severe among people who are older. The total number of new cases, do they have that listed here today? I don't believe they do. 689 newly reported infections on Wednesday, being spread across 69 of Minnesota's 87 counties. And once again, I mentioned it before with the Trump trip there. They're having some of the worst cases up in Duluth. And don't be surprised at the fact that these Republican rallies are happening up there and these numbers are climbing. There's also been a very interesting, I find this to be interesting, the scientific research story here out of Duluth. Dr. Richard Melvin's been trying to answer a question. Can COVID-2 be detected in beach water? He found his answer this weekend on September 11th. Now that he has more questions to answer, it's kind of a mystery. It's mysterious. It's mysterious, as Melvin says, because since the 4th of July, he's been taking samples every weekend from 8 beaches along Lake Superior and testing them with his team for the presence of coronavirus, the virus that causes COVID-19. Nothing. Then after sampling the weekend of September 11th, he found trace amounts of the virus in water along 4 Duluth beaches, Brighton Beach, the 42nd Avenue Beach, the beach near Leif Erickson Park, and the beach at Park Point near the Franklin Tot Lot. It's the first time Melvin knows of the virus being found in lake water anywhere in the country, mainly because Melvin and his associates don't know of this kind of research being done anywhere else. So, now, I have a hard time believing any virus could survive a Minnesota lake through winter. And it should be noted, it doesn't clearly say whether this is being found in the water, per se, or on the beach. So they're finding it in, like, the beach sand. It's a combo, so it could possibly be coming off the sand. So you have someone who's, I mean, although September 11th doesn't seem like a time you'd walk on the beach barefoot in Duluth. It's not quite clear there. But needless to say, if these facts, I mean, they have to do more research, obviously, on this. If this stuff can survive in water. Also, should be mentioned, as we look towards the Dakotas, remember I told you the Cougars might be running out of the Dakotas coming to Minnesota. North Dakota is running out of staffed hospital beds in some medical centers. Only 22 intensive care unit beds are available statewide as chronic nursing shortages collide with the spike in coronavirus pandemic. The bed shortage is perhaps most dire in Grand Forks, where their Altru has made no available ICU beds and 17 inpatient beds as of Tuesday, according to the State Department of Health. Bismarck's two hospitals, Sanford and CHI St. Alexis, have combined 2 available ICU beds, 15 inpatient beds. However, Sanford Bismarck announced Tuesday it's opening a new unit with 6 ICU beds and 8 regular beds. The Fargo's Sanford Essential and VA hospitals had just 12 available ICU beds and 31 inpatient beds. This is what happens when you have this is really kind of a perfect storm. You have a pandemic. You have a for-profit healthcare industry that's always constantly looking to cut. And some of the cuts they made early was, well, we don't need to plan for a pandemic. We can cut. We'll spend all of our money on elective surgeries that make us real money. And now here you are. And you got a nursing shortage, too. How would you feel as if you were in Western North Dakota and you had to, you had to have a family member in Fargo, because that was the only place there was an available bed. Also, finally today on the coronavirus update, and this is actually, I mean, this is a serious problem here, people. Lord Fletcher's, this is the restaurant out in Spring Park over on Lake Minnetonka. I've been there. I mean, we used to, when we would go, sometimes my dad, when we were kids, we'd go boating out in the lake and you pull the boat up, park the boat and go have a burger and then go back out in the lake. Went to Lord Fletcher's all the time. Now, they'd already announced they were going to be shutting down early this year for the winter season, but they have announced on Tuesday it's closed immediately after reporting three confirmed COVID-19 cases among its staff. In a statement that's on its Facebook page, the restaurant and its closure is effective immediately. So I want to be very clear here. If you have gone there, you need to go get tested immediately. And I can tell you there's a lot of people, and we can talk about social economic elements of this as well. I mean, most of the people are going to go to Lord Fletcher's. You probably have health insurance and you probably have enough money to go get tested. Go get tested. Because if it's a serving staff, my guess is that's not just three people that are sick. That's a lot of people that are sick. And it does bring up the point, did at any point did the restaurant have people who were sick come to them and say, you know what, we're not feeling that good, should we come in today? And they say, no, get in here, I can't cover your shift, so you got to come in and work. Oh, okay, cough, cough, cough. I'm just going to be blunt. Crooners last night was magnificent, was freaking magnificent. And it was magnificent for this reason. It was social distanced. You could go in there and there was room between the tables and it wasn't just people on top of people. And I got to tell you, it's hard when you go to some place today and you see a restaurant, you see a bar, and they're just packed in there. And you're like, are you guys nuts? And they don't care because, and it's now getting to the point where they know someone who's getting sick and they still don't care. That it's only going to be when they're sick and they're needing a hospital bed, and God forbid you need one in the Dakotas, then and only then will they actually take this seriously. And that's the scariest part of all. But this is, this is the world we live in today, as exposed by Trump. 952-946-6205. When we come on back, Jeff Stein joins us. We will talk politics with him. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, state lawmakers address racial justice, Hospitality Minnesota braces for winter amid COVID-19, and high school fall sports are back in business. That and much more. Tune us in right here or at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. Toyota is making the best vehicles on the market today. The Highlander, RAV4, Camry, Sienna, all their models are sensational, designed for the driver. Once you realize which Toyota vehicle is best for you, the next step is to head over to the best Toyota dealership in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota. And right now, Rudy Luther Toyota is offering 0% financing for 60 months to qualified buyers on the 2020 Corollas, Camrys, Avalons, and RAV4s. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve, but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950. AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Reminder once again, we had such a success with the turnout over at Crooner's last night with the first debate. We're going to do the vice presidential debate on Wednesday. Go to AM950radio.com, AM950radio.com to get information and get your tickets. Once again, we will not have tickets at the door. We will not have tickets available at the door. You have to get them online because we're doing that socially distancing stuff, but it works. And it's you know, we had a good time last night. So even though that debate was a nightmare, 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books, also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly show down there in Iowa. Of course, he joins us from KXEL, where he does the Iowa Politics Report. And, of course, they do have, as he has a picture of me now, wearing your super-duper fundraiser T-shirt down there, correct?
Absolutely right. We picked up, I think, 1,000 new Twitter followers yesterday because of some things, and they were greeted today to you modeling a T-shirt.
There you go. That's it. So how many are you down today?
We're down by 1,500 now, but that's okay. You know, it's like the market. You go up, you go down.
Well, and once again, these are T-shirts. We want to make sure we mention this. These are T-shirts that are designed to as a fundraiser for the big storms that came through in August, right?
Yeah, and in fact, and thank you again, not only for ordering a shirt, but talking about it on the program. A lot of cities of some size are getting relief, but the rural areas have been forgotten. So we're selling these T-shirts with the snarky phrase, "Iowa, our hurricanes don't need water." They come in any color you want, so long as it's gray. Mm-hmm. And they're $20 a throw. 100% of the proceeds go to rural derecho relief projects. We are already into the thousands of dollars that we'll be donating. We're halfway through, and any help you could provide would be tremendously appreciated.
Let's.
And I should mention, I didn't tell you, KXEL.com. That's where you can find it, KXEL.com.
I'll make sure I link to that on the social media pages later, too.
Now, at this event you had last night, was there alcohol being served?
Oh, there was a lot.
I wish I had been there. Oh, didn't need that.
It sounded like there was also one of the guys from MSNBC showed up with the camera crew, and they talked to some of our people out there. So, nice. I think, though, whatever you were going to do that you usually do at the end of a normal debate got put to side. Okay. The reality is, I mean, the best way to say this is the real loser last night was America because Joe Biden wasn't the problem there. Trump just could not win. So the epitome of what he is, a 5-year-old screaming for a cookie for 90 minutes. And it's like, and you've been there, you've been to that store and you see the kid that's crying and I want a cookie. I want a cookie. I want a cookie. I want a cookie. And at a while you wonder, why aren't the parents doing anything to stop this behavior? And that's all he is. I've had every friend in Europe I know has called me and or got in touch with me today and saying, that was a massive embarrassment. I feel sorry for your country. It really was. It was eye-opening if you were looking to open your eyes.
It was so obvious from the start. There are sometimes, for example, you don't know how it's going to go and you figure, okay, I'm going to go into it with the attitude that things are going to be fair and it's not going to be two against one and we'll just see what happens. First question wasn't over. And the president had already accused Chris Wallace of being against him. Okay, so he came in loaded. I have to say, though, I think that this was destined to be a failure, not just because of the participants and their own demeanor. The rules. Who in the world thought it was a good idea to have 2 minutes, 2 minutes, and then, oh, let's just have open conversation? You have to assume that there are some rules about this thing, and whatever rules there were quickly thrown out to the point that now you see the Commission on Debates in order to make sure there still are debates so that you can have a social evening. They're changing how they're going to allow moderators to, I presume, just hit the off button on the microphone. I don't know what else they could do for safeguarding reasons, but it was a travesty. It brought out the worst in every individual. I can't imagine that Joe Biden is happy that he used some of the names that he did. I don't blame him for it. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, he's not looking at that going, I'm really glad I did that. I mean, it just nobody could feel good about that even.
Well, but the thing is, and this was a reminder about what happened back in 2016. Actually, mm-hmm. I disagree with you. I think Biden knew exactly what he was doing there. He did put out policy whenever he had a time when he wasn't being interrupted. He did He did talk details. He also didn't allow Trump to just insult and insult and insult. He himself, I have zero doubt, that guy is a relative. I mean, as much as we like to say he's a trigger finger, he is a relatively disciplined guy. You're not in politics that long. I think the clown comment, I think the will you just shut up comment, I think the shot about the bunker, I think about the bringing up the injecting bleach into the arm, that was all designed to get targeted shots back at Trump to let him know, no, we're not going to just let you push us around on the stage. We're not going to be, we'll take the high road. He got down there and he took those shots. And then on top of it, he knew that, he allowed Trump. He was smart enough to allow Trump to go on and keep doing it because, let's face it, the longer it went on, the worse it got for him. When that whole thing where he's talking about Hunter and Bo Biden, and he's, and the minute that all of a sudden he thought the Biden son that was, involved in the made up Ukrainian scandal, it was the son that, just look at Trump's reaction when he figures out, oh, this is the son that died overseas fighting for the country. Oh, what the heck with him, he allowed Trump's true psyche to be out there. I think that was a very targeted approach.
Well, I think there were times that there were a lot of things very targeted about what Mr. Biden did. There's no question. He was the one who was prepared. All right. No question about it. I will maintain that when he said clown and some of those things, I don't know that it was planted or targeted. It's the way he really feels. And it was a very natural response. And all I'm saying is, I don't know that he looks at that and says, I'm proud that we, drop to that level, stoop to that level. I think he has every reason to be pleased with his response on the evening. Mm-hmm. I mean, he overcame all expectations. He was the one who showed specifics. And if you're Trump, and I said this last night, I don't know that you listen to anyone. We don't have any evidence that he has listened to any advisor at any point since he came down the magic escalator. The only chance for a more civil situation the next time is for somebody like, and I'm not sure he could even do it, somebody like Rudy Giuliani to sit down with Trump and break down game film. Because Trump is smart enough in terms of television to look at some of this and say, okay, just as Chris Wallace was trying to ask Biden a tough question, I got in his way. And he did.
Multiple times,
right? And there were other times where Trump could have done much better, but it was his lack of preparation. Here's the chief example. They were talking about the Supreme Court. And he's saying, well, the late Justice Ginsburg even said, I don't know what it was, 10 years ago, said that we should go forward. Okay, it was 4 years ago. That's a really important salient point if you're the president's side explaining why you should go forward. He didn't even have, Matt, recall of the specifics of his key debating point. Now, there's no question that his supporters were cringing. They're not happy. They're not going to change, right?
No, of course not.
But this is the thing that I talked about earlier this week where I'm at, and that is that if you're a Biden supporter and he would have had a bad night, presume that might have been the case, you're not going to all of a sudden say, well, I'm voting for Trump, but you might stay home, right?
Go ahead, please.
Well, no, here's what I'm saying is if for whatever reason Biden had the worst meltdown in the world, people aren't going to go switch and vote for Trump, but they might stay home. Okay. Well, that didn't happen, though, did it?
No. Because your point is incredibly. I mean, there were questions designed to make Biden squirm, and and they got asked. And then, as Biden started trying to answer them, here comes Trump in, swinging like a drunk orangutan, and it was. I mean, he let Biden off the hook. He can't be disciplined. I mean, I understand, you know, in a magical alternative reality, multiverse sort of thing, you might find a salient version of Trump. But the reality is there is no way in the world. I do not think there will be another debate because I do not think there's any way in the world Trump can actually pull this back. I think this is who he is. And when he's facing and let's face it, he's scared of Biden. He knows Biden can beat him. That's why this entire thing is about, fraud. And it's if I don't win, it's going to be fraud. He knows he's in trouble here. If he can't attack in any other way, then without losing voters, then I think that what you'll see is that they'll find an excuse for him not to do the last two presidential debates.
I have been going back and forth on that, okay, because the line that had been set out, Nancy Pelosi is the one who's done it the most, saying, well, why dignify the whole thing? Because Trump lies, he's a bore, he's et cetera, et cetera. Why should Joe Biden have to stand there? And last night, a lot of the Twitter comments were, don't put the country through this again. We can't possibly have another debate. Now, the right is saying, well, that's because Biden's lucky to have stood up straight for 90 minutes. And the left is saying, why should we subject our process to this? Because the greatest voter suppression effort in America was watching that debate. I don't feel, I'm watching that saying, we've got to do better than this. This is what we have. So I still think there are going to be debates. I still think there will be a second debate. I can't guarantee third, no, now, because how quickly the commission says it's going to change things. Okay, that sort of lets you do a second one, but I don't know how.
Could you do it remotely and then basically turn off the mic? Let Trump sit there and scream all he likes, but say, okay, we're going to ask you for 2 minutes, and then we turn off your mic. Because they did that in Minnesota here with there was a forum for the Minnesota Five race primaries. They had all the candidates for both the Democrats and Republicans. And when anyone was asked a question, all the other microphones were muted and they got to answer the question. Could you do it that way, or would Trump say no way?
Well, here's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see the ghost of Jack Berry come out and have two isolation booths. And literally, it would be a matter of when your light goes on, that means your microphone and your headphones are live. And when it goes out, then we can't hear you. You can't hear us. And it would kind of be like, I always like going to when you could go out to a fast food place that has a playroom that's walled off in glass, and you can see these children screaming, but you can't hear them. I love that, the part that I can't hear them. That's the part I love. Can you imagine that? Trump's in a soundproof room and he starts talking and waving and doing all of this, but we can't hear it. Wouldn't that be tremendous television? I mean, but yes, that's the only thing you can do. And I've heard people say today, because I thought it last night, the moderator should have the ability to press a button and turn off a microphone. And then I heard someone say today, well, then you obviously don't know much about Trump because he could be heard on any microphone in the building. Okay, you're right. So you have to have an isolation booth.
Yeah.
And the first one to 21 wins, and then we do a commercial for Geritol or whatever it was in the game show. But you can't. This next one's a town hall, right? Where they're going to be wandering around the stage. Remember, 4 years ago in her memoir that she wrote post-election, Hillary Clinton's comment is, Donald Trump was looming behind me, that he was intimidating her by his physical presence pacing on the stage. Do you think it's going to be any better this time out?
No.
I honest to God think
the pandemic will be interesting because that'll obviously change how things are going.
Sure.
Let's talk about the one most important moment of the night, which was Wallace specifically asking Trump to condemn white supremacy. And he could not do it. And it should be noted, as he said, he used a racial slur earlier in the debate when he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas again. His racism was showing. That moment, I thought to myself, okay, there is the moment that if you are truly a decent human being, you've got to realize this guy cannot stay in the White House, because that is just, you are asked to shut down the Nazis, the KKK, the Proud Boys, name the group, and he just could not do it because he knows that's his base, and he loves them because they love him. It's a cyclical relationship.
Today he said to the White House, press corps when he was asked again about it. He said, "You're going to have to tell me who the Proud Boys are. I don't know anything about this." Okay. So now let's go with go with that being true. Let's just go with the fact that he does not know who they are. How out of touch are you?
Exactly.
On an issue like this. Now, I think Chris Wallace gave him the opportunity. And here's the problem. And if you play it back slowly, you'll see it. Because I saw it at the time and I thought, he thinks he did last night. Because Wallace said, "Would you criticize and absolutely stand apart from these white supremacists?" And he goes, "Sure, of course." And then he didn't listen to the whole question. And then he went off on Antifa. So in his mind, he was dismissing it. What he needed to do, and he does not have the discipline to do this. He needed to let the sentence be the question be completed, and then to say, as clearly and directly as possible, "I hereby renounce and denounce any white supremacist group." There, I have said it. But in his mind, he kind of said, well, of course I'll do that. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? It's like, well, that's not very, very honest. That's not very heartfelt. Well, so there's a part of me that thinks that he's just, a stumbling boob, and there's a part of me that thinks that he was just trying to slough it off to get something off on Biden, and I don't know which one it is.
20 hours since, he still has not condemned him, and that's an undeniable. I mean, he could do it at any point on Twitter, Facebook, could come out, release a statement, and he has not.
Sure. No, you're right.
And so let's take a break. Come on back. Let's talk about what this does mean for the election. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. Many listeners know that I train on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on equity and dismantling racism. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change how they see the world. And now I'm doing all of my work online so everyone can attend regardless of where you're located. For more information, go to elliekrug.com. Thank you. I look forward to hearing from you.
Hazel's Northeast is back and offering some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find. Delicious breakfast options include the slow-cooked brisket hash, chicken fried steak, and the famed drunken banana French toast. Or for lunch and dinner, there's Swedish meatballs, wild rice gumbo, and more. Hazel's Northeast is open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 9 to 2. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis. Make your reservation now at hazelsne2go.com.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save? A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
We're breaking out this time.
Well, it's official. The Twins are out. God, talk about a bad showing. Mark my words. Jeff joining us right now. Jeff Stein with his usual weekly visit. They're going to be the team that loses to the team that loses to the team that loses to the team to that eventually wins World Series. They're going to be, I can already see it. That's just, oh, God. Jeff, don't ever follow baseball.
Well, I used to, but this season doesn't count.
It doesn't really, actually. It was 50 games.
I mean, this season doesn't count. I heard the Major League Baseball playoffs are starting. What? Come on. Forget it. The whole season's off. I don't care who wins in any of the sports. Call me next year. We'll talk.
how does anyone walk away? Okay, so there are some stories I saw. I think Huffington Post had one. I think Washington Post had one. The Hill had one, where you had basically people going to Trump-watching parties where conservatives and Trump fans were. And the Trump fans thought he was the best. He did the greatest. Now, granted, they're talking to the media, so there's going to be a little bit of hometown, you know, hometown love there. But the reality is there's a lot of Trump voters that watched what happened last night and think he did great. How can anyone walk away from that and not say that the number one trait for Trump voters in a presidential candidate is the ability to demean and insult their perceived enemies? Because that seems to be the military doesn't matter, the economy doesn't matter, trade doesn't matter. It's just owning the libs. And that is the only thing that matters to a lot of people that vote for Trump.
There are a lot of single issue voters all around. Now, this is not an issue, mind you. But the fact that there are people who ignore everything else about a candidate other than the one thing that they like should not be a surprise. Here's the thing that should be surprising for, or not surprising, but concerning, if you will. I don't know that Trump has the coattails. He really didn't show it in 2016. I don't know that he has the coattails to bring along other Republicans.
No.
And if he wins in November, then what's left of the party when he leaves office in 2025? Is it the Republican Party or the Trumpican Party? Because what you're going to find out, and let's face it, he has a better chance. I mean, this is a plausible scenario. He wins the White House, but the Democrats win both the House and the Senate. In which case, he can go ahead and make plans for late summer at one of his properties because he'll be impeached and removed from office before Labor Day. And now you've got a whole different situation of governing. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans have to figure out. And I understand why some of them don't want to do it in the midst of an election season. But they're going to have to figure out whether he wins or loses, what party they want to be going forward. Mm-hmm. Because it's their careers that are going to be sacrificed in the meantime.
Well, and let's be honest, under your scenario, it is a smarter play if Trump loses. And that way they can say, well, look at them. They're happy Trump lost. You need to vote for us. And they'll be the enemy of my enemy is that sort of thing. And right. So I could see, you know, that's the, and really for the Republican Party, you're right. If Trump does win again, that there's not going to be a party left by the time they get to 2024.
But if you go with the scenario of him being forced from office before the end of 2021, to some degree with Democrats, you have to say, okay, if he wins, you sure you want to impeach him? Because you're then going to have Mike Pence, who by all accounts is a very different temperament and different personality. You want him to have a 3-year leg up on a reelection issue. Just an interesting, I mean, you need to drive somebody from office who deserves to be driven from office. That's not the point, but I'm just simply saying, you know, there are dominoes to all of this, right?
I say you save that until the senatorial elections in 2 years in 2022, and basically, and you use it, and you basically take such a large lead there that they can't stop the Senate at that point. So,
yeah, there all you right. go. Look, Mr. Strategy.
Yeah, there you go. It's like we're conniving. I still don't think Trump, after last night, I don't think Trump's going to win anything. Jeff Stein, once again, the t-shirt, we'll put the link out for the t-shirt. Go get one of the t-shirts. Help out the farmers down there. We'll spotlight this. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Bet.
Till tomorrow. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.